This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
As much as it pains all of us, because we all kind of agree on this, we don't want the Eagles to be successful. They are. Howie Roseman is the best in the business. You know what I found interesting about the Eagles? Tell me if I'm the only one who thinks this way. When I think of the Kansas City Chiefs, I think of Andy Reid.
Yeah.
When I thought of the Patriots, I thought of Bill Belichick.
Right.
When I think of the Eagles, and I don't mean to disrespect Nick Sirianni, but I guess I am, I think of Howie Roseman.
No, you should. Because when you think about how long this has spanned, going back to post-Chip Kelly era, they've found ways to put these really good teams together. And you draft a guy like Carson Wentz, and he almost gets you to a Super Bowl, but he gets hurt. But you know what? We got a good backup in Nick Foles, who wins you the damn Super Bowl to the point where you put a statue out front in front of him. And then a couple years later, you know what? Let's take a flyer on this kid, Jalen Hurts. He got really good when he was in Oklahoma, as a runner and as a passer. Let's just take a flyer on him. It disrupts your team. You're like, oh, God, what did you do, Howie? You screwed up your team. You screwed up your quarterback.
Yep.
Carson Wentz is a head case. He can't play anymore. You got to get rid of him. Now you're stuck with Jalen Hurts, who struggled his first year and a half.
Yep.
And the next thing you know, the dude's in the Super Bowl twice
in
3 years.
It's amazing.
And wins a Super Bowl MVP.
It's amazing.
Right? That acumen is, like, that gets you executive of the year type stuff.
No question. We'll get to Jet players not being happy with the Aaron Rodgers decision in about 15 minutes. You're listening to WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York. It's an Odyssey sports station. Let's go to Nico in Brooklyn. How are you, Nico?
Evan and Tiki, hope all is well.
Thank
you. So, good. You guys mentioned everything with Strahan and flying that flag. So, I thought last week when Eli didn't make the haul, I thought that was the icing on the cake, but this is like the cherry on top. Am I mad at Strahan? Not really, but at the end of the day, I think like Sean mentioned, this is going to become a meme that's probably going to get thrown at Giant fans' face down the road. So to me, it's like mentally, do I need to prepare myself? Am I going to see Eli wear a 10-gallon hat and a bandana around his neck and promoting the Cowboys in the near future? Or the same thing with LT? Like what else is going to happen with this team?
Nico, is because you're right, and I feel for you. What we can do, the only thing we can control is we can control Tiki Barber. And we need Tiki to swear to us as New Yorkers and Giant fans.
That'll never happen.
You will never do this.
Never.
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 No Dallas Cowboy crap.
No.
No Eagle crap.
No.
Okay, I got a tough one.
Go ahead.
The Commanders.
Yeah, what are they? Unless they're going to hire me?
Well, then all bets are off.
You hire me for president of your organization? Sure, we'll have a reconsideration.
The Commanders.
Hold on. What if Breece Hall ends up on the Eagles, Commanders, or Cowboys?
That's right. You love Breece Hall. We have that picture where you're wearing a Breece Hall jersey. And that pissed you off.
I'll be the spokesperson for the Jets then. He'll be dead to us.
Okay. All right.
Let me ask this about Strahan. The next time, now time might go by here, the next time he's in front of Giant fans, does he get booed? He should.
Nah, you know why?
Nah, he's a legend. There's no kid.
He's a legend, and I think today we are emotional about it. Tomorrow we may be emotional about it. I think once there's an event, like a year from now, it's sort of going to be forgotten.
Whose side is he on?
I don't think this is something you're going to hold against him a year from now.
I also think, as we stand today, if you weren't just listening to our show, there's a chance you had no idea it happened.
That's true.
And there's a good chance, unless, again, you're in a spot on social media where Eagle fans are taunting you with it, by the time Strahan comes out to ring a bell again before a Giant game, there is still going to be a large percentage of Giant fans who don't know that happened on the pregame show yesterday.
Yes. Right? So are you mad at me for putting it out there, Sean?
Kind of, yeah. Let's just bury some things here.
I feel like I had to, because I don't know how many people watch these pregame shows, and I happened to see it, and I was like, holy crap. Let's go to Bobby in Yonkers. Good afternoon, Bobby.
Yeah, hi, Evan and Tiki, and Sean. Listen, I disagree with you guys tremendously. You could have brought Rodgers back and still drafted Jackson Dart with number 7.
Mm-hmm.
And he could teach him like Alex Smith to Mahomes. Right? So, I mean, listen, I'm a Jets fan since 67.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen this thing. I wanted McCarthy, Gruden, and Rex.
I get you.
Right? You know, to me, this is Salah and Douglas again. You got a rookie. And I like Glenn. You know, I've been watching him. I like Glenn, but he's a rookie. You got a rookie GM, right? So, but look, that's your opinion, but I think you're wrong.
No, but my opinion, but think about this, Bobby. I get what you're saying. I get that Aaron Rodgers coming back with Jackson Dart as the young quarterback to learn from him, in theory, seems to make a lot of sense. And right. In the short term, gives them a chance to win. What I'm concerned about is Aaron Rodgers going to undermine the new head coach, who is a rookie coach, like you said? And also, what does that make the cap sheets look like over the next 2 or 3 years since you're kicking the can down the road?
And so it puts pressure/stress on both the head coach and the general manager if Aaron Rodgers is back. Because you're now managing, one, his emotional state, his commitment, his age, his health as a head coach. Then you're managing the contract implications from like a very like non-advantageous standpoint if you're Darren Mooji. And so I think that it just makes it clean. If you move on from
it. Well, and you know the other reason, speaking of making it clean and a new head coach, this isn't going to last for long with me because I may like David Stearns, I may like Sean Marks, mm-hmm. I may like whatever executive there is, but I'm going to rip them if I disagree with them. Like David Stearns is a great example. I love David Stearns. I disagree with some of his philosophies in terms of giving pitchers long-term contracts.
Right.
Aaron Glenn just got hired. I love the hire. I love his opening press conference. I believe in Aaron Glenn. His first decision is going to be looking into Aaron Rodgers' eyes and saying, can I make it work with him?
Yeah.
I'm trusting that his first decision is going to be the one that he truly, truly believes deep in his soul. There's no nefarious reason he's doing it. It's literally looking into the man's eyes and saying, can I win with this guy?
Right.
And if he doesn't see it, I don't want to force a veteran Hall of Fame quarterback on a rookie head coach. I almost have to trust Aaron Glenn. And I've been saying that throughout the coaching search. Whoever the new coach is, whoever the GM is, they got to decide this, not Woody mm-hmm. Johnson. Caller earlier called up and said, oh, this is a Woody decision.
No,
if I ever found out it was a Woody decision, I'd be pissed off.
I promise you it wasn't a Woody decision. This was an Aaron Glenn decision. Positive.
And that's what it needs to be.
Right.
And if it's an Aaron Glenn decision, then I'm with him. Now go win.
Yeah. Right. Now, well, no. Get the team right.
Oh, yeah.
Go find the quarterback. Get the quarterback right. It could be Tyrod Taylor. I mean, I don't know. It's not like, I mean, he's not young and he's not, you know, the future, so to speak. But he's not a terrible quarterback either.
No, he's a very solid backup.
100%.
DB is in Elizabeth. Hey, DB.
What's up, DB?
Hey, guys. How you doing? First time caller.
Oh, I love that. Thank you, man.
Welcome aboard, sir.
Yeah, man. Love you guys. Listen to you every day.
Thanks.
So listen, here's the thing. We got to think about who the offense that's going to be run, that's coming from Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever comes in has to be suited to that type of offense.
Right.
Yep. Shifts, motions, and so forth.
Right.
That's not Aaron Rodgers, and I don't think that's...
Tyrod Taylor. It's not.
No. Well, I don't know. I think Tyrod Taylor would be more suited for it.
You don't think Tyrod Taylor fits the offense from Detroit?
They didn't do a lot of that.
Mm.
I'm trying to think if Dabes did a lot of that in Buffalo when Tyrod Taylor was there, and I don't think they did.
And we're assuming that Tanner Engstrand, who's coming from Detroit, is going to institute a similar offense to Ben Johnson?
I would assume so.
Because we're all just assuming that.
Let's hold that.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well.
So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Assumption. Okay. You can let that to be true. And if that's the case, there's a lot of nuance in moving players, moving formations, changing protections, just so you give yourself an advantage pre-snap.
Right.
It's not sit back, relax, I'm going to call an audible and just sidearm it down the field. And that felt like what the Jets were doing for the last couple of years. There's a specific mechanism to almost every single play. And it takes a quarterback who knows what they're doing. It's why Jared Goff was so successful in that offense, because that's what they were doing in L.A., right? And then he came to Detroit, and it was just a little bit different the way that the Lions ran it rather than Sean McVay, and he excelled at it. So finding a quarterback that's versed in that and is not overwhelmed by all of the movement and all of the get rightness that you have to do at the line of scrimmage, it's hard. Right, it could be Tyrod Taylor. I don't know.
If it's not, though,
my guess is it's not what Tyrod Taylor has been doing.
If it's not, then one conversation that needs to happen. I've already done my research on this. Is they're not married to Tyrod Taylor. He's signed next year, but so is Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
The Jets are moving on. Tyrod Taylor has a very reasonable cap number next year of 5.7 $6.8 million. I want to get my figures right. 6.8 If they cut him, they would actually save $1.7 million. So it'd be about a $5 million cap hit.
Wow, yeah.
If you don't believe he fits, that's not exactly a number.
But you also don't want to just throw some young player in.
No, I agree. I think you would be replacing him with a different veteran. Maybe that veteran's Jameis Winston, who is kind of, at least we'd have fun.
Oh, he was entertaining on Super Bowl Sunday.
He was. I'm just saying that Tyrod Taylor is not a guaranteed lock to be even on this roster, just because you look at the cap situation. It's a $6.8 million hit. You'd save 1.1 if you cut him. If they don't believe he fits, he could be off the team.
Right.
Now,
by the way, that's going to be an Aaron Glenn and his coaching staff decision. You know, if you're Aaron Glenn, you have in Muji, you have to have full autonomy to put this roster the way that you want it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the way it looks now with Aaron Rodgers on the way out. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Kyle in Smithtown. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
I called about two weeks ago, right after Championship Sunday, to rip Brandon Jacobs for going on Twitter and tweeting "Fly Eagles, fly."
Right.
And now, all of a sudden, one of my all-time favorite Giants, a man who helped give me one of the best moments of my life, is standing on a boat waving an Eagles flag saying "Fly Eagles Fly" after the worst season in Giants history without a care in the world about what that does to Giants fans. I mean, it is just completely clueless. He basically spit in our face, and honestly, I don't know if I can wear his jersey again after watching that.
Wow.
He should come on this radio station and give all Giants fans a public apology, and then I think about forgiving
him. You're going to hold that against him?
Wow.
How long will you hold that against him, Kyle?
I don't know. You're asking me the day after I've heard it, and my emotions are high right now, but I was
sick
to my stomach.
Look, it should fade quickly. It's Michael Strahan. He's a legend.
I think it will.
He is all Giant.
He did
a TV bit. Don't fall for the TV bit.
He shouldn't have done it.
It doesn't matter if he shouldn't have done it.
I don't think this is unforgivable by any stretch. So I do want to agree with you. I don't think that Kyle, I respect Kyle's passion. I don't think this should be a forever penalty.
But it also wasn't like it was this full-throated "Fly, Eagles, fly." He was kind of like, I guess I'll give a "Fly, Eagles, fly" because Saquon, I love you, man, and blah, blah, blah. I mean,
he said "Fly, Eagles, fly."
But it wasn't like this massive endorsement.
I'm not saying he should be banned for life. I think that was very harsh on Kyle's part.
I'll give him a break. Michael Strahan.
You know what I'd give him?
What's that?
I'd give him until next year when the year starts. I think for the offseason, he's a part of what made this season one of the worst seasons in the history of the Giants. Actually, let me rephrase that. The worst season in the history of the Giants? Because I think it is. Mm. I think it's clearly number one. The Eagles win the Super Bowl. Saquon Barkley. The coaches are coming back, which I know ticked off a lot of fans. They're not picking number one. I understand all those things can eventually work out. Like, I respect that. They may find their quarterback at 3. Brian Daboll may end up being a genius. But in the moment, this is the worst season in the history of the New York Giants. I think it surpasses 2017. Is that not fair to say?
Very fair to say.
You think it passes 17?
It's the worst season in franchise history.
Do you agree with that now, Sean? Because at first, when you did a Cinco on this about a month ago, you had 2017 number one. But now the Eagles won the Super Bowl. And oh, by the way, Strahan is waving a flag.
I still don't think it tops 2017. Oh, no, but hear me out.
Stop. Why? Because 17 was the first time.
Yeah, and also, let me see what's next. What top 2017 was, and I'm not even going to say the name, yes, they drafted Saquon, was the idea that they had the second overall pick, and I couldn't believe they went running back and didn't acknowledge rebuild. At least now we're coming off the season where it feels like the franchise is acknowledging rebuild. Also, I'm going to be fair, Evan. Yeah, the Strahan thing did annoy me, but I guess because I didn't see it live, and I guess because it was buried on the I don't think that adds to the Giants' miserable season. Like, that is so irrelevant
on
a block.
It's just sprinkles on top of the ice cream. That's all it is.
And I'm going to say it. Because it has to be said, it's not Saquon's fault that he didn't have big statistical day yesterday.
Oh, you had to get that in, didn't you?
No. But this is the truth. If the Eagles were going to win the Super Bowl yesterday, they won in no doubt fashion where we made peace with it early in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And Saquon did not go off for four quarters where it became 4 hours of Tom Brady and Kevin Burkhardt.
Well, they didn't even mention it.
But that's the point. We didn't get 4 hours of urination on the Giants last night.
Right.
Which, to me, that I can't make that the Eagles won. That makes us the worst season in Giant history. The Giants weren't a comical actor in the Super Bowl this time, which helped.
More on this coming up. Plus, Jet player mad about the Aaron Rodgers decision. Is this going to be a challenge for Aaron Glenn? We'll discuss it, plus your calls. So while I support the decision Aaron Glenn made to move on from Aaron Rodgers, it's best long-term for the franchise, even if it's going to really sting in the short term. There's one thing that Aaron Glenn may have to be concerned about, and that is his own locker room. Because Quinnen Williams, who's been here for a very long time, tweeted last night, yesterday afternoon, a thumbs down emoji. And in case you were like, well, he may not have meant the Rodgers news. He may have meant the Knicks effort against the Celtics on Saturday night. How do we know? Right? He then tweets after, another rebuild year for me, I guess.
Right.
So Quinnen confirmed he was not happy with the Rodgers news and then subsequently deactivated his Twitter account. Now, I checked out Garrett Wilson's Twitter. He has said nothing. I checked out Sauce Gardner's Twitter. He was talking about the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I checked out Breece Hall's Twitter. Same thing. He was talking a little bit about the game. He thought the halftime show was mid, by the way, in case you were curious about Breece's opinion. I think you agree with that, right?
Yeah.
It was pretty mid.
Mid?
Mid. Like, eh.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. It was mid.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was terrible.
A little less than mid. In fact, I actually had to go back and watch Super Bowl 56 this halftime just to get myself, like, crunked again.
Are you serious?
Hyped up.
You had to go watch an old halftime show?
Yeah, it was Dre and Snoop. It was great.
That was very good.
The best one. Actually, probably Prince is the best one, but you know what I mean.
I'll say something very unpopular, and please let's not take calls on this because it's stupid. The Prince thing sucked. It's so overrated. Most overrated thing.
Well, I just love Prince. That's
it fine. Rained during Purple Rain.
No, I understand. I just didn't think it was any good.
He was great.
Okay. I mean, that's what everybody says. That's what everybody tells me.
What about when we got Prince's hologram?
How old am I?
Were you then?
How old was I then?
17 years ago.
I'm 41 now, so whatever that adds up to.
You were 24.
Yeah.
You were a baby, that's why.
Didn't do anything for me.
You were a baby.
Okay. I'm a baby. I admit it. So Quinnen Williams is the only Jet I've seen that is clearly annoyed about this.
I can see why, by the way.
Of course.
He's annoyed. Because the last... What is this, year 7 for him?
Yeah, he's been here for a while. Think about all the crap he's seen.
Yes, and think of the bad quarterbacking play and the uncertainty and the coaching changes. And all of a sudden, it's like, all right, got my third head coach.
Yeah.
And probably my fifth quarterback that I'm going to actually start a game while I'm playing.
He saw Sam Darnold to Zach Wilson to Aaron Rodgers, back to Zach Wilson to Aaron Rodgers. And that's where this is a challenge, I admit.
Yeah.
Like, what I said earlier about why I support this decision, I do not expect Quinnen Williams to agree with. He's a 28-year-old star football player in the prime of his career. He doesn't give a crap about 2029. He's thinking like Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
He's thinking, I want to win now.
Yeah, and he's you can see why Myles Garrett, who's going to be 31, finally was like, Browns, you got to do something about this. I can't play my whole career on an insignificant squad while being one of the best players in football.
So how does Aaron Glenn handle this? Because he's not going to be the only one who feels this way, even if he's the only one doing it publicly.
Well, I think kind of like he had this meeting with Aaron Rodgers. You got to sit down and talk to these guys. And I don't think this is going to lead to a get me out of here type thing.
Oh, like, I'm afraid I disagree.
Like, I'm requesting a trade.
Why not?
Because what Aaron Glenn is now tasked to do is sell his veterans on this vision. And trust me, this is hard. Like, I remember going through this.
Yeah.
When Jim Fossil was fired in 2003 and Coach Coughlin was coming in. And look, Kerry Collins had taken us to a Super Bowl. Like, people forgot how good Kerry Collins was because of how great Eli became. But Kerry Collins was a very good quarterback for us. And here we are in 2004, and Kerry's out the door because he doesn't want to be the valet for whichever young quarterback we're drafting. We didn't know it was Eli at the time. And we bring in Kurt Warner, who everybody thought was done. Like, thought he was washed. And we're going to draft a young quarterback. It was challenging. And the turnover on the roster was something that was necessary, but there were a certain number of vets who just you got talked to, you had the conversation, and you started to try to see the vision going forward, and you bought into it. But it wouldn't have happened if he just kind of assumed it was going to happen. Like, Aaron Glenn's got to be proactive.
Yes.
But I think as a former player, he knows that.
Yeah, because Quinnen Williams is the only person to do this publicly, and this isn't the first time.
Yes.
I remember we went to Jet Camp a couple years ago, and Quinnen had just gotten his contract, and we asked him about, you know, the things he did with social media. Because if memory serves correct, I think he took the Jets away from his social media. Is that what he did, Sean? Because I remember we asked him about it.
Yes, he wiped the whole thing completely out.
And I brought it up to him, and his answer was, yeah, I was annoyed. Like, it was a very down-to-earth, like, relatable answer. Like, yeah, I was annoyed. It was a tough negotiation. And so I'm sure this is the same thing, but what scares me is that Quinnen Williams is a three-time Pro Bowler. He's really good. He's 28 years old. He has been on this horrific franchise now for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
He sees Myles Garrett asking for a trade. Why wouldn't he ask for a trade?
Yeah, but I think it's a little bit different. The Cleveland Browns have just been a disaster.
They've made the playoffs multiple times.
They have, but they've been a disaster with their quarterback. And they tied themselves to not a popular guy. At least Aaron Rodgers was a popular guy. Like, everybody believed that Aaron Rodgers could help this Jet team win, and I think that's the players as well. But I don't think anybody thought that the Cleveland Browns bringing in Deshaun Watson was going to help them win.
I agree, but so, overall, the Browns have been far worse. And if Myles Garrett is saying, I want to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he's a couple years older. And I think Myles Garrett is great. Like, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I get you.
Right? But
Quinton's not on that level, but he's very good.
He's very good. He is very good. But, I mean, they've had some really good defenses over the last couple of years. And if half the problem is solvable, meaning good defense, then why do you think you're that far away? It feels like with the Browns, they are really that far away.
Right.
Like, what's his name? DTR? Dorian Thompson Robinson? Like, nice kid. We interviewed him because he started one of these games. He's not an NFL starting quarterback. Mm. That's not what the Jets are likely going to do.
What I want Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji to do is they got to talk to their players, and they've got to stress this. We understand your frustration because I get it. You're going from Aaron Rodgers to the unknown. If you're unhappy here, do not say it publicly.
Yeah.
That's a private thing. And there's a reason I believe strongly in this. The Jets now that they've freed up Aaron Rodgers, there's a lot of possibilities on how they can go about this. A lot of possibilities. And it could include trading a guy like Quinnen Williams. It could include trading a guy like Sauce Gardner. It could include trading a guy like Garrett Wilson.
Right.
And what I would tell them is, if you have issues, keep it quiet. Because I don't think it helps either party to have that stuff go public. Like, I know everyone in the world knows Myles Garrett wants a trade. I don't think that necessarily helps the Cleveland Browns. And so I want these guys, and really it's on Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji to have this message out there.
Moogie!
If you're not happy, don't go on Twitter.
Yeah.
Talk to us. Communicate with us. Because I don't know what the Jet plan is, and trust me, I got a lot of ideas in my head. Some of my ideas may include trading some of the elite-level players you have on your roster.
Yeah, and by the way, that's something I didn't have to deal with, or we didn't have to deal with in 04. Social media wasn't a thing.
But what did guys think?
Everybody thought this is jacked up. How's this going to work?
So if there was social media, that would have been a problem.
Maybe, but I don't think it was a different era. Like, you didn't think about get me out of here. It was more like, how do we get him to change? You know what I mean? How do we get the head coach to change his mind? Not I want out of here. I'm just going to quit and run away from this thing. That's something that's fostered in the transfer portal nonsense that seeped into college football. It's just, if it doesn't work immediately, I'll quit and go someplace else.
Right.
That's this era. That's not my generation.
888-808-1019. The Eagles are Super Bowl champions. Giant fans just experienced the worst year ever, which included Michael Strahan waving an Eagles flag. Aaron Rodgers is now gone as Jet quarterback, and some players are not happy. Very, very, very busy day. Let's go to Mike on Long Island. How are you, Mike?
Hey, Evan and Tiki. Good. Listen, Tiki, big fan, grew up watching you. And just this year has been the hardest thing to witness as a Giant fan. Between the embarrassment, Hard Knocks, and the Saquon free agency situation, to the awful season, to Eli getting snubbed, Saquon's amazing postseason, and now Strahan saying fly, Eagles fly, waving the flag, and the Eagles now winning the Super Bowl. It's just one of the hardest things I've had to witness, you know, since I've been a Giant fan. And it'll all be topped off in the draft when they take Shedeur Sanders, who is just not going to be a good quarterback, in my opinion. But it's never ending. It's miserable to be a Giant fan right now, and it sucks.
Mike, hopefully he's gone. Hopefully
Shedeur Sanders?
Yes, hopefully he's gone.
Really?
We don't have to deal with the potential. Because the problem is, he's a kid with potential.
Yeah.
And potential's a bad word. It's not guaranteed to be successful. He is a potentially good quarterback, and that makes it hard. Hopefully the Giants, because there is an urgency to win, and they don't want to wait for Shedeur Sanders to figure it out or get up to speed on being an NFL quarterback, which could take 2 or 3 years, depending on his learning curve, et cetera. And they say, hey, Matt Stafford, you're available.
Matthew Stafford.
They just hired his brother-in-law.
What about Aaron Rodgers? Brought him up to you a few months ago. I mean, remember we talked about that.
If Aaron is healthy, it's not a bad... It's not a bad option.
No, it's not crazy.
It's not crazy. It wouldn't be my first, but it's not a crazy option. But I think they're going to explore every option, whether it's in the draft, That's either first round or one of the guys that's going to fall, be in a second round, Jalen Milroe, Jackson Dart, et cetera. Or they're going to look at the free agent quarterbacks. They're going to look at everything.
They got to win, like you said.
They have to find a way to win. And I'm not saying win a Super Bowl or get to the playoffs, but you got to show progress.
I do want
to. Just hasn't been progress.
I get you. I got to defend Shedeur Sanders on this regard. This has been, and I agree, the worst season in the history of the New York Giants when you factor everything in, when you factor in their own failures, the quarterback situation, the draft, Saquon Barkley, the Eagles. Like, you put it all together. The Commanders, let's not forget about that. Jaden Daniels. When you put it all together, worst season in the history of the New York Giants.
Right.
I cannot include whoever they draft at three as a part of it because we're not going to know the answer. Like, that's not fair. It's not fair to whoever they draft to say, and the topper is Shedeur. We don't know.
No, we don't.
Y'all could be wrong about
it. But I think it's just... it's just the evaluation that's starting to now happen about Shedeur Sanders. And it's not all positive. It's not, you know, beyond, you know, reproach. This guy's going to be the best quarterback in this draft. It's not that.
No, I get that.
And so the last thing the Giants want is another question mark at quarterback.
Let's go to Keith in Mount Vernon. How are you, Keith?
Good, Evan. First time caller.
I appreciate
listen to you guys
man.
Often.
Thank appreciate
you.
It.
I got three things for you guys. One, Evan, we don't have to speculate about WWJD. We know exactly what Jeter would do, because when he joined the Fox Baseball broadcast in June of 23, Poppy presented him with a Red Sox jersey that had Jeter number 2 on it.
That's right. I gotta remember that. Didn't he like throw it away or something?
He threw it on the ground.
Yeah.
I'll never wear that thing.
Here's the difference.
That's great.
Here's the difference. All right. And I have the utmost faith in Derek Jeter. WWJD, what would Jeter do? He would never wave the flag of the Boston Red Sox or the New York Mets. It is slightly different, though, because that was just David Ortiz trolling for no apparent reason. It would only be challenging if, and this is obviously a crazy hypothetical, if at the end of his career, Aaron Judge signed a one-year deal with the Boston Red Sox, and the Red Sox had a chance to win a World Series. And Judge had never won one with the Yankees, by the way. He came close. And the Red Sox were loaded. And now the Red Sox were in the World Series.
And almost certain to win it.
They're up 3-1. And Jeter's still doing broadcasting. And he loves Aaron Judge. And Yankee fans loved Aaron Judge. But now he's about to win a World Series with the Red Sox. Like that. And then he did an interview with Judge. And Judge is like, come on, wave that Red Sox flag. That would be the real challenge. But even then, he wouldn't do it. He just wouldn't. But I think that example from a couple of years ago, not fully the same thing. Because I understand you, Tiki, or Michael Strahan, or anybody liking Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. He seems to be a really nice guy. It has nothing to do. And rooting for the individual, I get it. You even said it. You're like, I hope he does well. But you don't want the Eagles to win.
Right.
It's that second step that makes it tough. It's not rooting for Saquon Barkley. Like, Sean may have an issue with that. I get it. It's a people's league. Mm-hmm. You like people. But the Eagles, that's a whole franchise.
Right. That's a different world.
And again, I don't think this is Strahan's fault, but I just think he missed the boat on understanding you're representing a beaten fan base when you do that, and that's not going through your head when you're running a TV bit.
Let's go to Charles in Washington, D.C. How are you, Charles?
Evan, Tiki, how you doing? Tiki, love you, man. Love
you.
At the game, the last game, 07, that beat the Commanders or Redskins at the game. Love it.
Thank you,
okay,
man.
Okay, let me start real quick. Giants fans need to stop with all this crying and whining. I have no problem at all with Strahan. Yeah, he did a little bit, but you know what? Ain't that big of a deal. Ain't that bad. Ain't that serious. Let it go. It being emotional. Second thing is, the quarterback thing is simple. Commanders' roster was not that good last year or the last 10 years. They got a quarterback. They won 12 games. It ain't that hard. The quarterback will change the whole team.
Yeah.
Look at the rosters. Look at the rosters for this team and the Commanders team going in. It was looking at 5 games. That roster was not that good. That quarterback made them that good.
Right. Quarterback and offensive coordinator. It's a good point.
It's not that simple, though.
Well, I mean, it's not, but in some ways it kind of is. Because when you look at, I remember this last year, the Washington Commanders, because I caught a couple of their games, had, not past season, 2 seasons ago, before Jaden Daniels, had one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL. I mean, the Giants were bad because everybody was hurt. The Commanders were worse. And a lot of those guys are still on the team. Yet they played serviceable this year, a lot of it because they had a mobile quarterback who could escape, right? And the threat of that running quarterback made it a little bit easier for them, and they played above themselves. So the quarterback matters in subtle ways. Obviously, in the obvious ways it matters, but there are subtle ways that quarterbacks change how an offense can function.
Well, he clearly changed the offense, there's no question, but it wasn't simply just insert him, everything's going to be fine. Look at a guy like Frankie Louvu. The guy was a beast this season.
Right.
He came over from Carolina. Well, he wasn't there 2 years ago. And the coaching staff completely changed. Like, there were so many other changes besides just the quarterback to simplify it as, well, insert quarterback, you're fine.
No, I mean, it's a couple of things. It's the staff, it's the quarterback, but I think it's also just the belief. Like, something changes and you just start believing that you're better than you actually are. You play that way. If you think you suck and everybody's telling you suck and your coach sucks and he's going to get fired because he's on the hot seat, then guess what? That's likely going to happen.
Right.
Right? It's that whole cliche. Whether you believe you can or can't, you're likely right. So I think you give Dan Quinn so much credit because he changed the mentality of that franchise in 1 year. And it's got them to the NFC Championship game.
The hard work's going to be next year. Go do it again now.
Right.
I always say this in sports, when you have that surprise year, it's a challenge the Mets are going to face this year, right? Like, go do it again now. You had a wonderful season. You took everybody by surprise. And what's going to make it so difficult for Washington and so difficult for Dallas and certainly so difficult for the Giants, and I hate to say this, the Eagles ain't going anywhere. They are freaking good. They are so loaded. Their roster is so good. And Howie Roseman is the best in the business that even when he screws up, like we mentioned earlier, in signing Bryce Huff, he's able to find Cooper DeJean in the draft. He's able to do that. And that's what makes the NFCE such a bear.
You know what I would push back on our previous caller, Charles? It's not a big deal that Strahan waved the Eagle flag. Here's why it is. Can we all agree that the Yankees aren't what we remember the Yankees to be, like the Yankees in the dynasty of the 90s. Right. And one of the things they do that annoys me, or I make fun of them for, and I think Yankee fans hate, is that they play Frank Sinatra after losses. Meaning, when we, you know, swept them, we being the Mets, they were playing Sinatra. It's like they're toned after certain things. Strahan should know better and not do this, and I think it just shows you what the state of this franchise is. It used to be a top, proud franchise in the NFL, and now they are a joke, and former players are in on the joke of mocking the team. So that's where we are, like the Jets, and the franchise has lost their
way. I got to stop you. You've said it 12 times now. The first 11 times I nodded. I said, he's right. I agree with him. I've made this comparison a lot. But when I make the comparison, you know it comes from a place of love. Every time you say they're the Jets,
there's a reason I'm doing it.
Look of disgust in your face.
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
No, why? Why?
Because I'm trying to...
I want you to stop.
I'm trying to hammer my point home of how bad things are.
I know, but it matters. When you say it, you're trolling the Jets. When I say it...
No, I'm not.
I guess I'm trolling the Giants now that I think about it.
I'm actually insulting the Giants in the best way I can insult them, by comparing them to the Jets.
I know. I think that, look, the LOL Jets has been a thing for many, many years, and the Giants took that mantle. I completely agree. But every time you say it, like, there's a part of me that dies. Am I going to... I'm not going to lie. It's a small part of me every time you say it, even though it's true. I mean, I've been saying it, so obviously I agree with you. It's just like, makes me, just gives me the heebie-jeebies. Amir is in Brooklyn. What's up, Amir?
Hey, Kiki, Evan.
What's up, man?
What's up?
Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it. Man, I'm a big Giants fan, but I'm also all New York fans, so I sympathize with the Jets and everything, and I just want to take it back to the beginning.
Yes.
We lost Coughlin, we lost Steve Spagnuolo, we lost Odell Beckham, and now Saquon Barkley. That's a whole team right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a whole team right there. So I don't know his name, but I sympathize with the other Giants, with the Giants fan, because Strahan took it overboard. He shouldn't have did that. He supported Barkley. I get that. But Eagles, Hurts would have not won this Super Bowl without Saquon Barkley.
No question. I think that's the thing that Sean has to come and admit, because you've kind of danced around it. And you've been fighting with Eagle fans for a long, long time. And even though he didn't put up MVP numbers in said Super Bowl, the Philadelphia Eagles do not win the Super Bowl without Saquon Barkley.
Correct.
Can you say that sentence, though?
The Philadelphia Eagles do not win the Super Bowl without Saquon Barkley. The signing is an unmitigated success for the Eagles.
Perfect.
And the stats, I tweeted this last night. I don't want to hear that he didn't have big rushing stats last night. He was the reason the Chiefs stacked the box and Jalen Hurts threw all over the place. Mm-hmm. He's the reason the Eagles got there. They did not win 2 years ago. They won this year because they signed Saquon Barkley.
Good job. Man, I'm surprised with you. I didn't think you had that in you.
And no, Zach Vaughn and drafted Cooper DeJean.
Of course.
Yes. C.J. Gardner-Johnson. It was a lot that they did to get their roster.
Oh, no question.
Perfect. Of course. Oh, and don't forget, Mekhi Becton comes over.
No, we don't mention.
But this is Tiki. This is why a classic two things are true. The Eagles, and we talked about Howie Roseman, they were in the right spot to be able to pay Saquon and not have it come back to bite them.
Yeah.
The Giants were also in the right spot to let him walk and not sit there and win five games with him.
Well, I said this earlier in the year, and it's just the more I think about it, the more true it is. You can't pay a running back unless you're the running back away from being a Super Bowl contender. And that's what they did. And you give them a lot of credit for it. The Giants weren't in a position to do that.
If they had paid Saquon Barkley this year, I'm not talking about last year, because I think the problem with the Saquon argument is it goes down the rabbit holes of all the different opportunities.
Why did he take the deal year, 2 years ago?
They should have signed him 2 years ago. They should have tagged Daniel Jones. By the way, I agree with that stuff, but then you get down the rabbit hole of so many different things that could have happened. So sticking with just last year's decision, otherwise it gets way too convoluted.
Yeah.
If they had given him the offer to make him come back, whatever that figure turned out to be, and he stays with the New York Giants, how does this season play out?
For the Giants?
Yeah. The Eagles. They do something different. Maybe the Eagles go do something even better at running, better at running back, but maybe they end up with Derrick Henry. Right. I don't know.
He probably rushes for 1,400 yards, but maybe they win two more games.
Mm.
But they're not, it's not making the Giants all of a sudden a playoff contender. They were bad in a lot of places.
No, and I think that's the key. That's the key to the question. Even with Saquon having the best year of his career, certainly not running behind as good of an offensive line and the uncertainty at quarterback, if it doesn't make the difference enough to make him a playoff team, and we're sitting in a very similar position today, they weren't better off keeping him.
Well, think about the games that they lost. What was the game in London?
Carolina
Panthers. They probably win that game.
Right.
Because Saquon's not fumbling.
I thought it too. Right? I think they probably win the Carolina game because of the fumbling, and also that Bengals Sunday night game where they missed the field goal. I think Saquon probably breaks off another
game. Probably win the Washington game, the first one, where they lost on basically field goals. They held Washington to just field goals, but they couldn't make extra points.
Singletary had the big fumble in that game that switched to one possession.
And so they win four more games.
Well, four more games. If we get to four now,
you're not a playoff team. You're not making a run for the Super Bowl.
There we go. And we just nailed it. So if you're asking any Giant fan today after the Eagles won the Super Bowl, don't even mention the word tank here. You wake up today. Would you rather the Giants be picking third overall in April or seventh overall in April and you had a season with Saquon? I think we all agree probably third, right? So then in the end, you have to bite what happened with the Eagles, tip your cap.
Right.
Saquon wins a ring. This sucks, this feeling. For the betterment of the franchise, it's better for the Giants to have bottomed out like this.
You know what the problem is?
That I'm right?
It's such a weird day to even say that with a straight face.
I know, but it's the truth, though, Evan. Right. It could be a weird day. I'm admitting that this worked out for the Eagles, and it sucks royally that it worked out for the Eagles. It doesn't mean that wasn't the right thing for the Giants to do.
Well, here's my thing, because I heard this from a few people, and obviously this is Sean's narrative, that, you know, and we agree it's the worst season of franchise history, but I'm not sure it's rock bottom. It could get worse. And this idea
I agree with that, by the way.
And Saquon Barkley,
is not. Of course I agree.
That's what I mean, about the Giants.
Yes!
And Saquon is not exactly 35 years old here. So what if next year he has, 200 rushing yards in the Super Bowl, they win, and the Giants are sitting at home and they didn't make the playoffs again?
I agree that it could get worse, but do you agree overall that, and just stick with this year, because again, it gets very convoluted when you say, well, what about last year? I totally agree. It's different avenues you can go down. Just this year's free agency. Were they better off letting him go, knowing the impact wasn't going to make that big of a difference?
They should not have let him go.
So even that little three-game difference, being in the similar spot, you don't have a quarterback, you're not sold on the coach, you're not picking in as good of a position, you don't have Tyrone Tracy because you probably don't draft
him. You made your competitor better.
Yeah, but you can't think about it that way.
Yes, you can.
No, this is
absolutely you can.
Tommy, this is the only thing you could think about in making your competitor better. The better question is not should they have let him walk. It should, in hindsight, should they have traded him at the deadline the year before.
Uh-oh. But then you could go down other rabbit holes.
No, what he said?
Yeah.
That dumb comment.
No, it's only because you would have controlled a team giving up assets for him that wouldn't have been the Philadelphia Eagles that probably would have been more likely since they gave up the assets.
Yeah, but here's the thing. He also would have been a free agent. So he would have played someplace else, and he would have been a free agent, and the Eagles still would have signed him.
Probably.
Because the Eagles had eyes on him going back to the year the Giants franchised him.
Yeah, the team that trades for him, it's not a lock that they then keep them. Definitely not a lock. Right. You can't just assume that. So he still ends up in Philadelphia.
He could have.
It's also not as sexy, but McKinney had an awesome year, too. So the two guys that walked got better and were both in the playoffs. One of them won a Super Bowl.
The one thing I disagree is you can't control where the guy goes.
Right.
Like your decision.
Especially when he's a free agent.
Yeah. Like your decision to keep him versus not to keep him can't be tied to where he may sign.
I know, but on Hard Knocks, the guy that writes the checks literally told his employers.
Forget the guy that writes the checks. Forget, how about you? How about me? You can't think that way.
But John Mara is us. He's a Giant fan. That's the whole point. A Giant fan that runs the team spoke for us, and it came to fruition. Everything he said came to fruition.
If I don't want a player back, right, and I make that decision, I can't have it be altered by where he goes. Like, I'll give you an example. Can I use Aaron Rodgers?
Go ahead.
It's not a perfect example because you look at the AFC East, they're kind of set at quarterback, Drake May, Josh Allen, Tua. But let's say the Dolphins are like, man, Tua's not healthy. We're going to sign Aaron Rodgers. Jets released him. We're going to sign him. Kind of like what happened with Chad Pennington. Basically the same thing. I can't change my view on keeping Rodgers or not versus the fact that the Dolphins may sign him. That has to be irrelevant.
Right. You can't because it's now out of your control. And I think that's the Giants kind of made that decision before the offseason that Saquon was not going to be coming back. Now, they had, you know, cursory discussions to bring him back, but they had basically put it out of their control that he wasn't going to come back. I know they kept talking to him, but he wasn't coming back, especially for the number that they wanted, meaning Saquon's camp wanted. And so after that, you just hoped he didn't sign with the Eagles.
That's it.
That's all you could do.
Yes.
I just hope he doesn't sign with the Eagles. He goes anywhere else, Houston Texans, wherever.
Right.
You know what? Good for you, Saquon. Good luck. But when he signed with the Eagles, it just stung because you knew you were going to have to deal with him as an opponent now for the next 3 years or 4 years.
You're right. And he's still in his prime.
Yes.
So they could go do it again next year. We'll get back to your calls on the Super Bowl, on the Giant fallout, on Aaron Rodgers being gone, Michael Strahan pissing off Giant fans. And when we come back, one thing that is annoying me the most coming out of this Super Bowl, the idea that the GOAT conversation has been altered forever. I'll explain why they're all wrong.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.